counseling or programs for victims that are free of charge, whether it's domestic violence, male or female, the effects of domestic violence on children, sexual assault, how even the effects on family members if their children have been sexually assaulted. So for the non-offending family members, you know, then we have programs for that, for them to come to. We get, you know, we do about 400 protective orders a year. We have about 400 crisis calls a year. Mm-hmm. So crisis calls come from anywhere. We also have a temporary emergency safe shelter for women and children, if they've got children that are fleeing, currently fleeing domestic violence, they have nowhere to go. Provided we have the availability, then we want to be able to help them. We get a lot of calls, probably 85% of the crisis calls we do receive are about shelter. The others are they have questions for themselves or family members about what resources are available, want to know more of what our agency does do, are we able to help them with their situation. And there's two protective order advocates or victim advocates, myself and Stacy, and we also are the ones during the day that take the crisis calls. So, you know, we stay pretty hooked up trying to help people.
And unfortunately, you said there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people that call in. Where does Framework Crisis and Counseling reach as far as range of where? Is it just City of Bartlesville? Is it Washington County? Who all kind of?
Believe it or not, because we're a certified agency through the Oklahoma Attorney General's Office, we're on a list of domestic violence shelters available in the state of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So we get calls not only from the state of Oklahoma, you know, we get a lot of calls from the Tulsa area, but, sure. You know, we're also, you know, south and, you know, all parts of Oklahoma. In addition to that, we even get calls of people that are fleeing other states that are, you know, trying to get this far to Oklahoma, you know, calling, wanting to say, yeah, I'm in Tennessee, I'm on my way, you know, would you have shelter available for me? The one thing about trying to plan ahead for some shelter, that's not how it works. You have to be ready to come to shelter that day within, you know, that period to midnight that night, because, mm-hmm. you know, you never know when, if we kept that space and then the people didn't come, we might end up turning someone away that was right. here and ready to go. So that is, quote, a requirement, you know, that you have to be able to be there by midnight that day for us to, you know, be able to hold that spot during the day for you.
Right. And I think it's interesting, and I didn't know this, that you mentioned this is through the Attorney General. This is the real deal. This isn't just people trying to help. This is like a government and a official certified group.
Right. We have requirements of paperwork, programs and so forth that we're required, you mm-hmm. know, to go over and assist people with. And then we try to tweak that with resources, you know, that become knowledgeable about local resources that are available, because there isn't enough shelters, you know, in Bartlesville, for instance, for all the calls that we do get.
And you mentioned shelters. And I'm just looking down here at your volunteer opportunities and things like that you have here on your list here. We're talking about shelters and places, mm-hmm. not necessarily specifically where, but, you know, how does that work as far as you know, do people, you know, I guess, where do you put these people? You said you hold them for a short period of time here.
Right. Well, if they call, let's say they call this morning mm-hmm. at 10 o'clock wanting shelter. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if they qualify, meaning they are currently fleeing domestic violence, it's not something that happened 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. And we have availability for them, then they have a choice. If they can be there before 5 o'clock, then they come to the office and myself or Stacy take them over to the shelter.
Okay.
If they can't be here till, let's say, 7 o'clock, then they go to the police department. The police department, pardon me, confirms that with us. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
And they then take them to the shelter.
Okay. Okay, and that's what I think the question I was trying to get to is this is secure. This is not just showing up and hoping for the best here.
Absolutely. No, that won't work.
And I think that's really important. I can only imagine that situation. I imagine that it's a scary and difficult and troubling time. There's so many things mm-hmm. going on, but it is a good note. I did not know this, and I'm glad that it is this way, that is, you guys are certified, you're the real deal, you have all these certifications and basically to do this, as opposed to just like, well, come on down and we'll help you out. This is like,
right.
we're going to have, you're going to be safe. You're going to be protected here. You're going to be okay.
Correct. Absolutely. What we need them to do is, you know, we have a service plan for them, and that is, you know, they can come to the shelter, but they need to be willing to work this plan by looking for job opportunities, provided mm-hmm. they're able to work, and also then looking for housing. You know, housing, a lot of them, you know, get on lists, and that may not, it may be a 6 month or a year list. We don't have the shelter available for everyone for that length of period of time, but initially it gives them a safe place to come to for themselves or their children, get the kids in school, and just, you know, the opportunity to be quiet and then plan what they want to do with the rest of their life.
And so it's helping people as opposed to just giving them. It's a hand up, I guess, is the better
way. Right. It's not a place to come for a vacation.
Right. Fair enough. I just want to make that clear. School has started. It feels like it just started yesterday, even though I'm not in school anymore, but whatever. School just started recently. Is that stressful for families and that this kind of time period, people are going back, things are changing, kids are moving around and stuff?
Right. You know, for a lot of the clients that we see, the stress on that, that sometimes triggers more outbreaks, you know, more fights, more assaults, or the verbal, you know, abuse, is the stress that, you know, before, kind of like in the summertime, you run wild. You know, you don't have a real big specific bedtime, and then suddenly that party's over and everyone's got to, you know, you've got to start trying to get the kids in bed. They have a lot of initial needs for school. And, you know, if you've got an unemployed parent or two, even with two parents working, that additional financial stress, you know, they're going to need shoes, they're going to need clothes, you know, they're going to need supplies, just all the things, the sports, that takes money. And a lot of times that's just something that maybe people don't have, and they struggle with not being able to, you know, not having it, being able to provide. And sometimes it just festers. And then from that, then, you know, fights, you know, come from that. Mm-hmm. So any, even it's the same thing at the holidays. When it's suddenly you need to have extra money, you know, to be able to provide gifts, and that can be a part of people having more problems.
And so I think that's a huge thing, but I also feel that like stress can kind of come from anywhere, and fights can break out of anything. Mm-hmm. Are there signs? Is there some way to you know, kind of be aware of like a situation you're getting into or somebody you know might be getting into? Mm-hmm. Is that an appropriate question to ask?
Well, I hope I answer it. That helps you understand this. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, people that their reaction, you know, they want to control their partner to start with. Mm-hmm. and that power and control over them and that manipulation, it's usually that their partner's fault that they hit them, you know, or they broke, you know, three or four things in the home, or they choked them. If you hadn't done this, or if you had done this, you know, so they don't take responsibility or ownership for this. They, you know, they're going to blame that other person. If you weren't so stupid, you mm-hmm. know, and things like that. So when you're going to kind of see, you're going to know what little triggers are there, you know, maybe for your partner, but just from experience mm-hmm. of things that maybe make them, you know, more susceptible, becoming volatile. And generally, then you just walk around on eggshells, hoping so it's not your fault if you keep everything as calm as possible, in the kids quiet, dinner ready at 5, you know, that these things won't, you know, come to the full-fledged assault or something like that. I think the people in the relationships know the little triggers that the mm-hmm. people have. If they drink too much, then they're going to be, you know, so try to get them not to drink, you know, little things like that.
Yeah, and I can only imagine, but I feel like there's a lot of things out there, and it's so good that there is a group. It's so good that Family Crisis and Counseling is out there trying to help. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a lot of people, and myself included, you know, again, I say this a lot, but going back to being a 23-year-old kid, a year and a half removed from college, I feel like there's a lot of times in the world that I don't know how I can help. Mm-hmm. But Family Crisis and Counseling is doing that. and that's, you know, to have somebody who's there doing dinner group, I feel like there's a lot of groups who can help. That's a really good thing. We're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some volunteer opportunities. I know that's super important to get as much help as possible right after this.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
All right, we are back here for Community Connection. Family Crisis and Counseling's Patty Beavers, who is here with us. I mentioned before the break we're going to talk about volunteers. We're going to get to that. I want to go down this list thing because this is so important. Christmas Extravaganza is coming up, and it's basically winter outside. It's like 67 out there, so Christmas is coming. basically here already. We'll just skip Halloween and Thanksgiving. Christmas Extravaganza, what is that exactly?
Okay. It's one of our largest fundraisers. Mm-hmm. We depend on our fundraisers to help fund us, our agency. And so this one is always the second Tuesday in December. So I don't have specifics other than I'd like for people that are listening to share with their friends to go ahead and mark your calendar. And next month when I come back, I should know the location and so forth.
And what is it? I assume this is not the first one you've done.
Correct.
What is it exactly? Is it a dinner? Is it a okay. Just come and, you know, donate? What is it?
Okay, people do buy tickets mm-hmm. to attend, which is, you know, part of the donation. But our board members, some of the staff members, and then other people in the community either donate Christmas items or make, you know, these really tremendously talented Pinterest
sure,
queens,
yeah.
You know, they make beautiful things and donate them for us then to sell there at the auction, the silent auction for that evening, you know, to help fund the agency. And so it's critical to the agency mm-hmm. that it's well attended and that people have a good time and they want to bring their friends, you know, and come back each year.
And you mentioned that it's critical for that. Donations are a huge part of what you guys do in helping you help other people. Basically, talk a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the donations. I mean, how much do you rely on donations? I know that's kind of a question to ask, but some, you know, there's some people who are out there okay. that just 100%.
Okay.
You
know? Well, for instance, like the food for the shelter, mm-hmm. we've been blessed the last couple of years where the post office has done a canned drive and so forth, mm-hmm. and we're one of the recipients of that. That allows us to stock up, you know, our pantry then. And that goes through about 6 to 9 months, depending on how many people we have and for how long they stay. But as far as, you know, our funding's, you know, somewhat limited, you know, mm-hmm. yes, no one goes hungry. I don't mean it like that. But what sure. I ask the community to consider. You know, when you go to the grocery store and it's $5 for $1 or $10 for $10, you know, buy those and bring them to the office so we can take them to the shelter. You know, ketchup. You know, everyone loves ketchup. You know, ranch dressing. You know, things. You know, that aren't going to go bad, you know, peanut butter. Things that maybe little kids, because we're going to keep basic stuff, but mm-hmm. then if you're somewhere and then they've got special little things that kids would enjoy as a snack or something, 10 for 10, you know, consider purchasing them, you know, for us to take to the shelter then for the clients.
And so are you, I guess, in most need of food donations or clothing or what?
Okay. Clothing isn't something that we need.
Okay.
But yes, non-perishable food items. Cash donations that can be spent, like, you know, a lot of times, like Valentine's Day or someone's birthday, we try to have little gifts there for the client so that they, you know, the kids can give them a birthday gift or Valentine's, you know, gift. So this is a great thing for shoppers that do a lot of clearance shopping, and you see, mm-hmm. you know, that's a great gift idea. Well, you might have cost you $7.50. It would mean everything to someone, a woman at the shelter that's, you know, given up or lost everything and is trying to rebuild her life there.
Absolutely. And see, the Christmas extravaganza coming up in December, mm-hmm. But you can obviously always, I assume, donate before then.
Sure. Oh, sure.
And how do people go, I guess, the process of that? Just come by the office, or is there online? Is there a form? What?
Come by the office, or a lot of times there are certain people that donate each year and they just send a check.
Okay.
You know, with it acknowledged as a donation for a tax donation and stuff like that.
And of course, physical donation items are always appreciated, but time is always appreciated, and volunteering and people
sure.
helping with that. I mean, volunteers are always needed in everything, but what can volunteers help you all with?
Okay. Right now I have one lady that goes to court with me on Thursday. If we could always use a spare person that would commit to going. They can either split it or go once a month, and then, you know, however they want to do it. And that is just simply going with whichever advocate's going to be at court on Thursday for the protective order docket, mm-hmm. Checking people in, calling them when it's their turn. You know, that's a real important job. We also then have need for women that would answer the phone. This at court could be a male mm-hmm. or female, but mm-hmm. at the shelter, when we have meetings or training that we are required everyone to be there, then we do have to have someone over at the shelter answering the phone, because we only have funding for one staff person to be at the shelter at a time. So if they need to come over for required training, then we, you know, have a volunteer over there answering the phone while we're in our meeting or in the training. So yeah, little simple things like that, you know, just.
Yeah. Just real easy things. You know, you mentioned these volunteers, people who are doing the phone. Probably doesn't take a whole lot of requirements or training, but people who go to court and stuff. Is there any sort of requirements, or, you know, we need a female, we need a male, we need something to help volunteer, or is it just anybody and everybody?
Okay.
That's willing.
Okay. At the shelter, it would need to be a female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the opportunity at the court answering the phone, I mean, I'm sorry, the going to court could be male or female. Sometimes we need a volunteer to help at the office answering the phone when we have someone on vacation for, you know, an afternoon. That could be a male or female.
Okay.
So we have opportunities for both.
Okay.
And as far as the training is concerned, what you're doing would require no training, but the Oklahoma Attorney General's office does require us to go over, you know, quite a bit, to be
sure.
quite honest with you, so you have the full aspect of what might go on, or a good healthy understanding of the domestic violence and the effects it has on women and children and men.
Sure. And I think we're trying to get at here is, if you're trying to volunteer, don't feel like you're gonna be thrown to the wolves out here.
You're a text away or a phone call away from, and really you're basically taking messages, you know what
right.
I mean, we don't expect you to learn the system and get everything to people. You can simply, you know, send it to that voicemail, or if you need assistance, mm-hmm. then, you know, you would just use a speakerphone and ask that, you know, ask that person to come down. You have a question.
Absolutely. So to volunteer to donate, for probably more information, possibly, I would assume, to buy tickets possibly later on once they mm-hmm. become available. Do you guys have a website or a place people can go do this, or is there just physically just show up at the office?
Okay. Well, a couple of choices. Mm-hmm. Like us on Facebook, and then you can see what's going on and when. And then there will be posters that are put out in advertising, mm-hmm. and you'll start hearing a little bit more about the second Tuesday in December. And, you know, people just call and say, you know, can I get my tickets over the phone? Or do I need to come in? Some people prefer to come in. They want to come in. So it's entirely up to the individual.
What's your phone number?
Hey, 918-336-1188.
Okay. And where's the office located at?
It's at 622 Southeast Frank Phillips. That's at the corner of Seneca and Frank Phillips.
Okay. So a lot of things going on. Again, I appreciate you for doing that. I appreciate Family Crisis and Counseling, just a huge program that just benefits people all over. I thought incorrectly that it was just a Washington County thing at first, but you really do work just all across the state.
We do. We assist people from Nowata County and Osage County within reason. Mm-hmm. Nowata County doesn't have an agency over there. Osage County doesn't have one through the Oklahoma Attorney General's office, but the Osage Nation does have someone over there. But we assist, you know, when we can.
Absolutely. Again, your phone number, 918-336-1188.
Correct.
All right. Appreciate you coming in this morning, Patty Bevers. Again, we appreciate you and we appreciate everything that Family Crisis and Counseling does.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
This is Sherman Jaquess, the pastor at Metoka Baptist Church.